call from the United States of America. Americans, here's Mail Call, one big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the requests you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And now, standing by to start the ball rolling on this Mail Call is one of your favorite correspondents. She's been to just about every camp and hospital in this country, and to so many places overseas, you'd think she'd have to be twins or triplets or something. She's really just one swell gal. And here she is now with There Goes That Song Again, Miss Frances Langford.
There goes that song again. We used to call it our serenade. We fell in love when we heard it play. Over and over and over and over again. I still remember when I sang the words and they made you mine. I'd steal a kiss and repeat each line. Over and over and over and over and then. We drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen just starts me reminiscing. I'd soon forget that, yeah. I told myself when you said so long. But I was wrong. Song again. We drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen starts me reminiscing. I'd soon forget that again. I told myself when you said so long, but I was wrong. There goes that song again.
That was wonderful.
Thank you very much, Ken.
And Frances, we've got a surprise for you. Wait till you see the fellow that's on the show with you tonight. He's a very famous movie star.
That's wonderful. Is it Clark Gable?
Well, no.
That's a shame. Is it Gary Cooper?
No.
That's a shame. Is it Robert Taylor?
No, it's Jack Carson.
Oh, that's a shame.
Just a minute, Frances.
Here he is, Jack Carson.
Jack, I want to apologize for what I said. I really didn't mean it.
Well, that's better.
You see, when Ken Niles told me I was appearing with you, I was just a little surprised, that's
it's all. So, I accept your apology.
It's just that I'm accustomed to appearing with a comedian.
Yeah. Frances, I don't want to seem corny or anything, but there are people who think that I'm quite funny.
Well, I always say, you shouldn't judge a man by his looks.
Frances, that's no way to treat me. I'd do anything to be with you. I'd swim the deepest river. I'd climb the highest transom.
Well, that kind of talk makes me feel right at home. You sound just like Bob Hope.
Bob Hope? Hope. Oh, yes. That's a fellow who's got a mouth that sells tooth powder and a nose that can ladle it out. As a matter of fact, Frances, I know Bob very well. We're practically buddies.
Oh, do you belong to the same club?
Well, no, but we run in the same pack. You know, Bob has been practically a father to me.
He used that approach on me, too.
No, I mean it, Francis. He taught me everything I know. One day he sat me down and told me the facts of life.
Oh, you mean about the birds and the bees?
Well, I already had the basic training. He put me through OCS. But let's not talk about Bob. Let's talk about you.
All right.
Gosh, that's an interesting dress you're wearing.
Oh, it's practically nothing.
Yeah, that's why it's so interesting. Maybe after the show, you and I could go out and tear up a hamburger together. Huh?
Tear up a hamburger?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's wrong with you, Jack. So unromantic. I like continental men. They're brilliant conversationalists. And let's face it, Jack, you do use platitudes.
Well, all right, I do, but I'm lucky to get any cigarettes at all.
That's not what I mean, Jack. I prefer a polished man, the type that's been all over the world.
Oh, Francis, I know all about love and romance.
But how could you? Have you ever held a rendezvous in a Parisian cafe?
No, but I've held a searchlight in Griffith Park. I know what the trouble is, Francis. You don't think of me as a romantic lover because they never give me that part in pictures.
I can't see why not, Jack. In my opinion, you've got all the requirements.
Really?
You're tall,
uh-huh,
and strong, and charming, and very handsome.
Oh, Francis, you're just saying that because it's true.
Well, why don't you assert yourself, Jack? Demand those big romantic parts.
That's just what I did, Francis. I hired the greatest agent in Hollywood, and he's going to fix everything. His name is 10% Colonna. I'm expecting a call from him right now. I'm still expecting a call from him. Hello?
Hello, J.C.?
Yes, this is J.C. Who is this?
This is J.C. Confusing, isn't it?
Listen, Colonna, what about that big starring role you promised to get me?
Well, I just bought a story for your new pictures, Carson.
You bought a story?
Yes, and the author is right here with me. Go ahead, Joe. Tell him the idea. You think $50,000 was too much? Say, you see, with Colonna as your agent...
That laugh was too much, Francis.
With Colonna as your agent, you have nothing to worry about.
Say, that reminds me. What do you charge for being my agent, Colonna?
Oh, we'll have the usual arrangements, Carson. If the sum total of your net amount exceeds one-third the total cost, my fee will be subtracted from the gross receipts. But if the sum total of your net amount exceeds two-thirds the total cost, my fee will be added to the entire gross. Or, to put it more simply, whatever happens, you lose.
Colonna, what's the reason you can't get me a big part?
Well, they don't think you're handsome enough, but I know exactly how to fix you up. I'm sending over a wonderful makeup man. Best makeup man in the world. When he gets through with you, your own mother won't know you.
Really?
Yes, he just did a makeup job on me. And look, here comes my mother now, you see. She won't even know me. Hey, Mom. Oh, Mom.
Get out of here, you tramp.
See? She knew me after all.
While I'm waiting for that makeup man to get here, this seems like a good place to add some new signatures to your mail call letter. Picking up the old pen and ink now is one of the finest vocal groups around these parts or any other parts. It's the Air Crew with Ain't We Got Fun.
Every morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but honey, ain't we got fun? The rent's unpaid, dear, we haven't a bus. But smiles were made, dear, for people like us. In the winter, in the summer, don't we have fun? Times are bum and getting bummer, still we have fun. There's nothing surer, the rich get rich and the poor get children. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? There's no moaning in the morning, cause we have a lot of fun. we got a lot of fun. We've only started to snap and sparkle and a pop, pop. Are we downhearted? You can bet your bottom. Now we're not. Landlord's mad, getting madder. Times are bad, getting better. There's nothing sure. The rich get rich and we're in the army. In the meantime, in between time.
Swell hunk of coordinated cadenza. And now we turn...
Say, Jack, there's a fellow out here that wants to see you.
Oh, it's probably the makeup man, Ken. Will you send him right in?
Okay.
Right this way.
Thank you very much.
Are you the makeup man?
Well, who did you think I was? Mrs. Skeffington?
Well, I wasn't sure. Come right in.
I'm Percy Northmore of Miracle Studios. I was sent over here to make somebody beautiful. Who is it?
It's I.
Oh, darn it. Overtime again tonight.
Just a minute. You don't have to get so happy about it.
Well, it's just that the studio has been giving me all the dirty work.
Dirty work?
Yes. You're the worst assignment I've had since they made me finger-wave Gravel Gertie.
Oh, come on. Listen, bud, I'm not so sure that you know what you're doing.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, that's so. What stars did you ever work on?
Well, now, let's see. There's Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra? Does he use makeup?
Four layers? What do you think holds the boy up?
What other actors have you helped?
Well, there's Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers? Did you add to his beauty?
Why, certainly. I hope you don't think his horse's tail is naturally wavy.
Well, you used to work on the tail of Roy Rogers' horse, and now you're working on me. You've certainly come a long way.
Oh, not so far.
Now, look, I'm not going to stand here and take this.
There's
from
just
you.
One more thing. There's just one more thing that bothers me. Those ears of yours, they're so droopy.
Well, yes, they do droop a little. What can we do about it?
Well, have you tried tying them in a bow under your chin?
No, I'd much rather curl them straight up like Lassie.
Oh. Of course, if worse comes to worse, I could tape down your left ear, and I could tape down your right ear.
Yeah, what about my face?
I refuse to mess with Mr. In Between.
Fresh guy, I should have torn him apart, petal by petal.
Jack, what's wrong? You look so upset.
Oh, everything's wrong. Kelowna didn't get me a job yet. I had a fight with a makeup man.
Well, don't worry about it, Jack. Just relax while I run through a swell new tune by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke called Sleigh Ride in July.
I can't understand why I get pushed around like this. I guess you can't have luck when you've got brains and beauty.
I'd like to sing this song in answer to all your requests to Armed Forces Radio Service. And don't forget to keep on sending those letters.
Well, this Charles Boyer got that I couldn't have readjusted.
Sleigh ride in July. Oh, I must have been a set up for a star. Mommy, summer Eve. My dreams were same all winter, and then to think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in July. So the big romance was only make-believe.
Troubles for a while. Now, if Colonna would only call up with a job.
Hello, is this Jack Carson?
Yes, sir, this is your boy.
What was that?
I said this is your boy.
Think we ought to go see Mr. Anthony?
Colonna, didn't you get me a big part yet?
I'm over at the studio now, Carson. There's a beautiful movie star here doing a bathtub scene. She's sitting there in the bathtub, and it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
What makes you think it's going to be so interesting?
I just pulled the plug out.
I bet you haven't got any influence at all around those studios.
Oh, is that so? I just pulled over a big deal. They wanted Edward Arnold for a picture, but I sold him one of my clients. He's very thin, but we're going to make him look like Edward Arnold.
How can you make a skinny guy like that look like Edward Arnold?
I'll show you, Carson. Keep pumping, boys. We're blowing up this fellow bigger and bigger.
Be careful, Colonna. If you get too much air in him, he'll burst and collapse.
Oh, nothing to worry about, Carson. Keep pumping, boys. Well, you can always pass him off as Frank Sinatra. Ah, Frank Sinatra, crooning. How I love it. Would you pardon me, Carson? I feel a song coming on.
When the days are done and the shadows are fall, I think of you. When the days are done, I think of all of the joys we knew. That year had income, Rita and Inga, to hold you in my arms. Would go now, I know now. Without you, life has lost its charm. When the hair is done and the grass is wet.
Sorry, I'll get you a towel.
Will the twilight do? My lonely heart keeps sinking with the sun. And though I miss your tender kiss the whole day through, I miss you most of all. Miss you most of all.
Yes.
Oh!
Didn't miss her that time, did I? Great song, wasn't it, Carson?
Fine thing. You spend your time singing. You're supposed to be out getting me a big part in pictures.
Oh, nothing to worry about, Carson. Got it all fixed up. I talked to a director, and he said if you could prove that you're a great actor, he'll sign you up.
Oh, great work, Clone. I'll put on a play and show him.
Okay, he'll be listening, and just to help you along, Carson, I'll send over a terrible actor to make you look good.
Oh, you're a genius, Clone. Be sure you send over an actor with no talent.
Fine. I've got just the fellow. His name is Herbert Marshall.
You fool! Herbert Marshall is a wonderful actor.
Oh, you could do it better than him.
But he always turns in a great performance.
Oh, you could do it better than him.
Herbert Marshall will make me look like an idiot.
You could do it better than him.
No, I'm really in a mess. What I'd better do is dig up some kind of a play where I can stand out. If I can look like the big star of this thing, the director listening will think that I'm really a wonderful...
What do you intend to do when Herbert Marshall gets here?
Oh, don't worry, Francis. It's all fixed. I've got a play ready for us to do.
How do you know you'll want to do that play?
Oh, he'll do anything I say. We're old friends. In fact, we're more than friends. We're practically inseparable. Why, we're like heel and toe.
You gave yourself top billing, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Never mind. You see, Bart and I are very close because we're both English.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I happen to know that you come from Milwaukee.
Well, all right, what's the difference? In England, they have tea and popovers. In Milwaukee, we have beer and hangovers. I wish Herbie would get here. Come in.
How do you do? My name's Herbert Marshall.
Hello, Mr. Marshall.
How do you do, Miss Langford? How are you?
I'm just fine, and you?
Just perfect.
Aren't you overlooking me?
Yes, I am. What were you saying, Miss Langford?
Pardon me, maybe you don't recognize me.
Maybe not.
Well, perhaps you've even forgotten my name.
That's possible.
I could refresh your memory and tell you who I am.
Well, I'd rather like it this way.
I suppose you dropped in to do that play, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, I trust the other members of the cast are competent actors.
Excuse me, I hate to keep interrupting like this. Do you mind?
Not at all. Butt right in.
Yeah. Thank you. What I've been trying to say is that I am Jack Carson.
Jack Carson?
Yes. Radio, you know?
Oh, well, yes, thank you. But my set is working fine, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Marshall... Jack is an actor, too. He came all the way out here from Milwaukee.
Was that trip necessary?
Surely. Surely you've heard of Milwaukee.
Yes, yes, I have. Isn't that the obstacle course on the way to Peoria?
Obstacle? Listen, Mr. Marshall. Milwaukee is one of the nation's most foremost cities. Why, it's the crossroads of the world. Most foremost cities, believe me. You can stand there at any street corner, and every 10 minutes, somebody you know will come by.
Leaving town, no doubt. Now, look. Look, I've come here to appear in a play. Does anybody know anything about it?
Yes, yes, yes. It's a very interesting play, and the leading character is a handsome, debonair, dashing gentleman of the lover type.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part in it for you, too.
Jack, I hope you're kidding.
Why, I happen to be a pretty romantic guy.
Romantic? Oh, now I recall what I saw you before.
You do? You do?
Yes, it was on Hollywood Boulevard. You whistled at me one day when I was wearing slacks.
Well, in this fog, who knows? You can't tell.
You certainly act silly with women, Jack. Don't you know when you see a pretty girl on the street, you're not supposed to go...
You're not supposed to go?
No.
No. One who makes that noise to drive a horse.
You can tell when you meet an attractive filly.
If you'll pardon my saying so, I think your technique with women is all wrong.
Is that so? What do you do?
Well, you got to be careful. Casual. Keep them dangling. Make them think you've got plenty of others on the string.
Yeah, what do you go out with, girls or yo-yos?
Now, just what sort of play are we doing this evening?
Well, knowing that you were going to be in it, Bart...
Yes.
I chose a vehicle that was quite British.
Very sporting of you, Jack. Let's get on with it.
Okay, Ken, set the scene.
All right.
curtain rises on the quiet, dignified countryside of England, in a little town called Chip Beef on the Shingle. We find ourselves in the palatial...
That ain't the way I heard it.
We find ourselves in the palatial castle of the Earl of Carson. Lady Langford is not quite satisfied with her fiancé, the Earl of Carson, but she knows that these days it's tough to get a good grade of Earl. That'll give you a rough idea of what's coming. As the scene opens, we find the Earl and his fiancée chatting in the drawing room.
Greetings, Reginald. Pip, pip, cheerio, and all that sort of rot.
Tell you who, Gwendolyn, how's your mother, your father, and all that sort of rot?
Reginald, I do believe that wealth and riches are your ruination.
Oh, pish, pash, and all that sort of bosh.
Just look at you. You look terrible. Do you ever take any exercise?
Oh, I get simply scads of exercise. Every evening, Father and I go down to the vault and field $1,000 bills.
Your family must be immensely wealthy.
Oh, quite. Mother has a great deal of money, too.
Really?
Yes, Mother made all her money in tea.
Bags?
One of the biggest. By the way, old twerp, I must remember to get a new automobile.
Why, Reginald, you have a car already. I saw it as I came in.
I know, but I must buy a new one.
What's wrong with the one outside?
It's facing the wrong way.
Hark, I hear a horse approaching. Hark, I hear a horse approaching.
Great pair of ears this kid's got.
Why, it's Cousin Tex.
Well, bust my britches and let me freeze. Howdy, folks.
We're both feeling top-notch, Tex. Fortunate you could come.
I'm mighty glad it could come, partner. Mighty, mighty glad. Now, wait a minute, Carson. What kind of a part is this? Why am I talking Western?
Because in the play, your name is Tex.
Well, why is my name Tex?
Because you're a cowboy.
Then how did I get in England?
You took a wrong turn at Dallas and get back to the script.
What a frame-up.
Oh, Gwendolyn, my dear, could I have another glass of that champagne?
Yes, Reginald, here you are. Does that champagne hit the spot?
Hit the spot? No, but it's very good champagne.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, it's down there searching for it.
Now, see here, Carson, when do I get a line in this play?
Take it easy, Marsh. You'll get a big opportunity coming right up. Now, tally-ho, Gwendolyn.
Tally-ho, schmally-ho, something better happen pronto.
Oh, Reginald, Reginald, my millionaire sweetheart. Why don't we wed? The years are passing, you know.
Ah, yes, I am no longer a child. I'm growing up. Remember, I never had the slightest bit of fuzz on my chest?
Ermine. Sometimes I envy our cousin from Texas.
Oh, quite. That's the life, you know. Riding along with his guitar. With his guitar when the bloom is on the sage. Well, Marshal?
Carson, I refuse to do it.
It's in there. You do it.
Oh, very well. Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Carson, I quit. I'm leaving.
Wait a minute.
Nothing doing. That's not the part for me. I can't sing Don't Fence Me In.
What's the matter? Not enough cowboy in you?
No. Not enough Lawrence Tibbet.
Does it for now, fellas. This mail call letter closes with signatures from Francis Langford, Jack Carson, Herbert Marshall, Jerry Colonna, Franklin, Percy Northmore, Pangborn, Ann Stone, the air crew, and the Armed Forces Radio Service Orchestra, and yours truly, Ken Niles. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.